Good morning. Welcome to our guest today. It's good to have you. You know, every time we hear this gospel, we hear about the sign that they hung above the cross when Jesus died. Some of you may be familiar with it. It says, I-N-R-I, which translates as Jesus Christ, King of the Jews. So my first Sunday here at this parish years ago, very first Sunday, I went to go celebrate Mass, and that sign that was up there fell off during Mass. So I thought, oh my heavens, this is hopefully not a bad omen. I don't know. And I like to think it was gravity and just not me. But every time I come in and I see that, I'm like, Jesus, we're going to get to it. I promise. He's been very patient with me. But, you know, it is kind of amazing, isn't it, God's providence in our life. I remember about a month ago, I was sleeping at 2 in the morning, and I got a phone call, an emergency phone call, and they asked me to go down to Methodist Central Hospital in Midtown. So I get up, you know, and I'm like getting dressed, and I run out the door, and I go trucking down to Midtown, and I park illegally like a good Memphian. And I go running in, and I run up there, you know, I'm sweating, and I burst in the room, and the man that I was going to give last rites to, he was sitting straight up playing Candy Crush on his phone. So, I mean, on the one hand, I was grateful that he was doing well. On the other hand, I was like, dude, I mean, come on, man. Anyway, we get in this conversation, we get in an argument there 2:30 in the morning about football. So he knows my penchant towards college football, and he is very much NFL. So we went back and forth, what is better, NFL, college football, NFL, college football, right? And so, you know, he said, well, give it to me, Father. Tell me why college football is better. I said, well, okay, let me count the ways. I said, did you know how much one football game for a family of four is in the NFL? Anybody know? Family of four, one football game. Average cost, $1,000. Okay, that's if you don't eat. And anybody with children knows that's not going to happen. It's if you don't buy souvenirs. Okay, $1,000. Okay, then we go through the list. I said, well, number one, look, college football, you got a marching band, you got the energy of these college students, you know, they're just the fight. I said, they're not afraid to break a nail like the guys in the NFL. There's no Roger Goodell, sorry. You know, and it's just better. It's just better, and they're fighting, right? And he said, one of the good things about both of them is, believe it or not, referees. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, look, if there's not a ref, then anything goes, right? Somebody's got to be the finer arbitrator. This is good. This is not good. You can't do that. And he said, Father, can we kind of make the analogy between, say, I don't know, a ref and Jesus? I said, well, I haven't thought about that, but I said, what do you mean? And he said, well, you know, a lot of people, they kind of see Jesus as their buddy. Like, he's just kind of a buddy. Like, he's a great guy. Like, he left the world a better place. And he just kind of accepts me, however, whatever lifestyle I want to choose, whatever I want to do, Jesus is my buddy, so he accepts it. Because he's a great guy. And he brought this up to me, and I'm like, that's a really good point. Because a lot of people, they just kind of see this as, yeah, Jesus is just a good guy who accepts me and loves me and makes no demands on me at all. So however I want to live, my buddy will accept it. And I'm like, and he was bringing this up to me, and I was like, that's a great point, man. But we kind of see this, is that the buddy Jesus syndrome, even with a lot of Christians. So they just kind of shave away any demands on me at all. And what happens is when you shave away any demands on Jesus, It's not Jesus. It's me. So if you hold up a mirror to Jesus, you actually see who? Me. And my ego. Right? We see that with some of the theology of our non-Catholic friends, right? Good people, but they shave away enough Jesus, and it's really kind of a reflection of me. How do we go through anger with God? This happens a lot, as many of you know. At Thanksgiving and Christmas, people have bitterness, anger with God. How do we manage that? Anybody here ever had chronic pain? I'm guessing some of you have. Chronic pain, back pain, the joy of shingles, twice, tooth pain, kidney stones. Maybe you know the experience of having the pain as a parent, where your child is going through something difficult, and you're saying to God, Jesus, please, if just let me take it and free this child. Been with many, many families at St. Jude and Le Bonheur in that situation. Please just give it to me. For the love of God, protect them. Or if you've had a kid who's been bullied, you know what I'm talking about. As a parent, we feel this sense of protection. And it's easy to kind of get angry at God. And I always tell people, I'm like, look, if that's one of the best prayers. It really is. And that may sound strange, but there's a difference between anger with God and resentment towards God. Let me just say that again. There's a big difference between anger with God, where it's justifiable, and resentment towards God. That's not good. We gotta address that. It goes like this. If you don't remember anything of what I'm saying, irritation with God and frustration with God does not mean condemnation and damnation by God. It's a mouthful, so I'm going to say it again. Irritation with God and frustration with God does not mean condemnation and damnation by God. In other words, we're not going to be damned to hell if we get angry with Him. Sometimes that's a just reaction to a difficult situation. Amen? Yeah. How do we handle that? This comes up a lot at Thanksgiving and Christmas. You know, many of you may be aware that from the years 1920 to 1933 in this country, we went through what's called the Prohibition. There's no alcohol in this country. Very difficult for Catholics. Okay? Very challenging for us, let's be honest. All right? So at the very tail end of that, we were going through the Great Depression. And historian David McCullough, commenting on Prohibition, he said, just at the time when every American needed a good drink, there was none to be found. That's what he said. So at the height of Prohibition in Martinez, California, there was a bartender who took a little bit of olive juice, a little bit of vermouth, a little bit of vodka, shook it up, and came up with what? Martini. That's where it comes from. Martinez, California. You ever feel like you've been in a martini shaker? Like God is just kind of doing this? And you're like, please, Lord, please let it stop. You know, like it's just one thing after another, after another, after another, after another. You feel like you've been in a martini shaker of life. And here's the good news, is that eventually God makes a good cocktail out of our life, if we can borrow the metaphor. In other words, we're getting better and stronger. He doesn't just leave it there. John chapter 16, Jesus says this. He says, in this world you will have trouble, but take courage, I've overcome the world. We're going to go through the martini shaker of life, but take courage, I've overcome the world. It happens. You know, for each and every one of us, it's important that we not give up hope. There are times where we think, Lord, I'm trying to do the right thing. I'm trying to dot the I's, cross the T's of Christianity, and all these other people that are not, that could care less, why is it that you're rewarding them, but I'm trying to do right and I'm getting punished, right? And we can often feel that way. But irritation with God and frustration with God does not equate to condemnation by God. I'll close with this. You know, one of the things that I believe very firmly in as a priest is maternal instinct. I see this so often with moms that I know and that I've gotten to know over the years. Maternal instinct. Do you know, on September 11th, when one tower was hit by an airplane and then the other tower was hit by another airplane, and some people were leaving, they were actually told that day by the Port Authority to go back to work, go back to their offices, go back to their desks. Now, I want you to just stop, just bear with me, focus for 1 second. Let's assume that you're in that situation. What would you do? On the one hand, your instinct tells you, get out of this building. On the other hand, you're thinking, I'm a single parent, I need this job. If I don't have this job, I can't pay for my rent in New York City. So we're going back and forth. My instinct would say one thing, but I have to have this job. So this is my question to you. What would you do? What would you do? Be honest. Raise your hand if you would have left the building. You're in that situation. Raise your hand if you would have left. Okay, how many would have stayed? I'm a rule follower. So I know myself well enough, I would have actually gone back and I would have fretted about it. But eventually, you know, some of these people that were trying to do the right thing, that was their last day. You say, well, what does this have to do with me? This is my point. Forget about the Bible for a second. Forget about what the Catholic Church teaches. What does your heart say about heaven? What does your instinct say about heaven? Because Pope John Paul II, this is what he says. He says, long before something was written on stone tablets, it was written on the human heart, your instinct, your gut. What does your gut tell you about heaven? This is such an important point, folks. That's what this day is about. You know, we say, well, yeah, Father, I agree with that. But what about this person that died, and I don't know if they were baptized before they were baptized before they died. Are they in heaven? I'm like, what does your heart tell you? This issue comes up sometimes with people that have taken their own life. Do we believe that they're in heaven? From the Catholic perspective, we would say we should never, ever worry about that. We give them to God. Irritation with God and frustration with God does not mean condemnation by God. That's the hope that we hold on to today.